We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing with you another Way of Truth broadcast. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay with us, trusting the Holy Spirit will make our service a blessing to you today. We open our service with the choir singing for us, Since Jesus is Mine.
Thank you.
If you have Jesus today, you have the most important person that you could possibly have. For to have Christ as your own means that you have been saved from a life of sin and that you have the privilege of being a part of the family of God. And if you be faithful to the end, you shall have eternal life. Heavenly Father, we do thank you today for our precious friend, the Lord Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Captain, our Head. And we are thankful for the privilege of presenting his message to this precious congregation today. We trust that wherever our program is reaching, the Holy Spirit will accompany it and make it a blessing to souls. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue now with the West Virginia Trio singing for us, Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me.
Our subject for today's broadcast, Recipe for a Victorious Christian Life. You can make a lot of good things if you follow a recipe, and very tasty things. But I want to speak about a recipe for a victorious Christian life. And I want to use as a text of Scripture the second chapter, or second book of Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So Paul said in this scripture, and he went on to say that because he had done that, he had received a crown of life. Now, I will, like Paul, forget those things which are behind. We read in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the high prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And, like David, lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And another verse that the psalmist David said, Whenever I am overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So we're talking about today a recipe for victorious Christian living. Now, like Abraham, trust implicitly in my God. We read in the book of Romans, chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, about Abraham. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham was a man of faith. He believed God. And you know, Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 11 that they that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when we speak about a recipe for a victorious Christian life, and we speak about faith, it's impossible to live a victorious Christian life without faith in Almighty God. And Abraham is certainly a wonderful example of one who believed God. Now, like Enoch, walk with God in daily fellowship with him. Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him, for before the Lord took him, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So Enoch walked with God in daily fellowship, and Jesus Christ made it possible for us to have that same fellowship and to walk with our Heavenly Father. Now, like the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, he prepared his heart to seek the Lord. So we read in 2 Chronicles 19 and 3, and also we read in regard to Ezra, in the book of Ezra, chapter 7 and verse 10, For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So if we're going to live a victorious Christian life, we must not only study the Word of God, but we must do what we find there. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we also read in James, where he said, Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Now, like Moses, Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And so Moses chose God. And if we're going to live a Christian life, victorious Christian life, of course, we must choose God. There are two ways, one that is straight and narrow, that leads to life eternal, and the other is broad, that leadeth unto destruction. And we must make the choice of which one we're going to take. And Moses chose to walk that straight and narrow way, the way of eternal life. Now, like Daniel was a man who feared God. In the young age of around 15, he was carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon as a war prisoner. But Daniel had the habit of praying three times a day. And those who were jealous of him and were determined to do away with him plotted to have the king to sign a decree that no one should make any petition of any god or anybody except the king for 30 days. And of course, they plotted that to try to trap Daniel and to get him to disobey so that they could report him to the king. And that is exactly what happened. Daniel went into his room, up the upper window there, and he looked towards Jerusalem, and he prayed just as he had in times past. And as a result, he was thrown in the lion's den. But God protected him there and brought him out. And Daniel continued his praying. And if we're going to have a victorious Christian life, we must have a victorious prayer life. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, like Job is known as a man who suffered greatly. But Job was a man also who had confidence in God and was determined to serve God. And Job was a man of patience. Whenever his wife tried to get him to betray God, he told her she spoke like a foolish woman. And whenever he was afflicted, he said, "Though the Lord slay me, yet will I trust him." So Job was a patient man, even though he suffered greatly. And if we're going to be a victorious Christian, we too must manifest patience. Now, like Caleb and Joshua, they were two of the 12 tribes that went into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. And whenever they came back after being there for 40 days, Caleb and Joshua gave a good report and assured the people, Moses and the rest of the people, that they could take the land. But the 10 doubted and questioned God, did not accept what God had promised them. God had promised them the land, but they doubted, and they persuaded the people to doubt with them. And as a result, they had to spend 40 years in the wilderness till all adults died off. But Caleb and Joshua went into the land of promise because they believed God. They had faith in God. They were not moved by the majority. The majority are not always right. And we certainly find it so here with Joshua and Caleb. Only two of them contended for the right, and the 10 contended for that which was wrong. And God rewarded them for what they did and for the faith that they manifested. Now, we must be like Joseph. Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob, and his brothers were jealous of him and had anger in their hearts against him because Joseph was endeavoring to do what was right, and they sold him into Egypt, or they sold him to a group of men, the Midianites, who took him into Egypt and sold him there. Joseph presumably was about 17 years of age, and a man by the name of Potiphar bought him and made him a servant of his. And Joseph was so faithful, the man turned over his entire household and business to Joseph and to Joseph's care. And Potiphar's wife fastened her eyes upon him and lusted after him and tried to get him to do which was sinful and wrong. But Joseph refused. He said he could not sin against God and do this evil thing and betray his master. And he was thrown in prison also because of his stand for righteousness and his refusal to do what was wrong. But he interpreted a dream for two men, and one of them was to be restored to the king. And after a year or two, the king had a dream, and this man remembered the prisoner that had interpreted his dream, and he told him about Joseph. So they brought Joseph out, and Joseph interpreted the king's dream. You're going to have 7 years of famine, or plentiful at first, and then you're going to have 7 years of famine. I suggest that you prepare barns to take care of the crops during the 7 years of plenty, and then you will have plenty things to take care of your people when the famine comes along. And the king was wise enough to appoint Joseph over that matter. And he did. And whenever the famine was on for about 2 years, Jacob and his people back in Canaan were getting ready to starve to death. And Jacob had heard about there being grain in Egypt. So he sent most of his sons there to buy grain. And Joseph recognized them, and he let them go. But the second time they came, he required them to bring his younger brother with them, Benjamin. And they brought him, although Jacob didn't want to let him come. They were either again facing starvation or going back into Egypt. And so Jacob finally consented to let Benjamin go with them. And that time, Joseph then revealed himself to his brothers, and he sent wagons to bring Jacob and his entire household into Egypt and took care of them. And Joseph was indeed a victorious man who loved God and served God. Now, another person that we want to mention when we think about a victorious Christian life was the man Gideon. God had chosen Gideon to fight off the Midianites who were making them servants. And Gideon questioned about it and said, you know, he wasn't able. He was from a poor family and all. And he wasn't able to do this. And he asked for a sign, and so the Lord gave him the sign that he asked for. A fleece was to be wet and all dry around him. And then a second time, the ground around was to be dry, or the fleece was to be dry, and the water was to be around. And he took about 25,000 men to fight the Midianites, which had many more than he had. And God said, you got too many men. Get rid of those that are fearful. And thousands of them went back. And the Lord said to Gideon, you still got too many. And he told him how to test them, to go down to the brook and see how they drank. And those that bowed over and didn't watch for the enemy, they were sent back. And those that scooped up the water in their hands and kept their eyes on the field, 300 of them. And God said, now you take that 300 and you can defeat the Midianites. And so Gideon armed his men with what? He armed them with a pitcher and a light inside of that pitcher and a trumpet. And at the midnight hour, or when it was dark, around the midnight hour, Gideon had split them up into three different groups. And he told them, now you do what I do. And about the midnight hour, he broke his pitcher, and the light shone, and he sounded the trumpet. And God sent confusion among the camp of the Midianites, and they began to kill themselves, and they began to flee. And so Gideon and his men took off after them. And after that, then a bunch of Israelites then joined them. And God gave Gideon the victory with 300 men and a lamp in a pitcher and a trumpet. God can do anything. There's nothing impossible with our God. Now, like Aaron and Hur, they held up Aaron's, or Moses' hands, rather. Certain people came out to fight Moses and them after they had come out of the land of Egypt. And Moses was nearby, holding up his hands. And as long as he held up his arms, or his hands, Joshua and Israel prevailed. But whenever Moses got tired and let his hands down, then Israel began to fail. So Aaron stood on one side, Hur on the other side, and that caused Israel to prevail. Now another, like Andrew. Andrew went and found his brother. And so if we are going to be a victorious Christian, live the Christian life, we must strive to win others to Christ. And then like Stephen, we must love the Lord enough to give our very life, and we must have a forgiving spirit as Stephen had. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And of course, we need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who went about doing good unto all men. Yes, it is possible through the grace of God to have a victorious life. And I trust this recipe that I have shared with you today will be a blessing and a help to you. Father, do bless this precious congregation with your word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, and our webpage, www.wayoftruth.org. We'd be pleased if you'd let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. And you can join us in our services by going to www.wayoftruth.org. Now, this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to be with us next week when we bring you another Way of Truth broadcast.
Since I started for the dream.